But this Sabbath is a celebration, a thanksgiving. And we want to hear from those who have been directly affected. And we have three precious ones who have agreed to share how they have persevered through the pandemic. I know a lot of us were afraid. I was sometimes. When Hazel go away and she come back, I was scared to death. She went out to Arizona last week and I'm, are you okay? And then she went down to Mexico. I said, you went all the way to Mexico. She saw Trump wall and all that stuff. And I was a little nervous when she came, when I picked her up at the airport. But I want to hear from our precious members that God has brought to us to be with us. One will be on Zoom. He's gone way away from us. I know you miss him, right? Amen. She's here by herself, but she misses him. I miss him too. But you know, when kids grow, they have to take their wings and fly away. And that's what we have to do for them. So Sister Colleen, come forward, would you? And speak to us from your heart. And then Jeremy's on Zoom. I hope his internet is working all the way in Houston. He'll come right behind. And then we got precious Jenny. What a blessing. She brought her mom today.
Happy Sabbath, church. I was asked by Pastor to share my experience. So in March last year, 2020, I went in to see, I always go in to see patients. I work through the ER and I work on another unit called the Clinical Decision Unit. And during the, oh, you can't hear me? I've gotten so used to this. During the initial part of the pandemic, when we didn't know a lot about it, we were just screening patients who had respiratory illnesses and not patients who necessarily currently came in for heart attacks or for infection or anything like that. So I went in to see some patients. This guy was coughing, so I was cautious about that. But I remember looking at the chart, because I usually look at all the patients' charts before going to see them. And he came in for an MI. So I'm thinking, God, please, I just don't want anything to happen. Came out of his room, documented in his chart, saw other patients. I got a call Friday from the pandemic response from the hospital to say you might have been exposed to someone with COVID, because the patients were popping up positive after the fact. You know, so I said, that's Friday. I said, okay then. And then on Sunday, I was supposed to, go to work that Sunday, but I had a fever. And I said, okay, all right. So I called in the tele line and I said, okay, I have a fever, anything else? No. And I was asked to quarantine at home just to wait a while. Fast forwarding, because I know I have a short time, I got tested on the Thursday, and I got a call the following day, because at that time the hospital was offering a rapid test, and I was told that I was COVID positive. So I said, okay then, all right. So the first thing I did, I just shake my head. I shook my head. I'm thinking, okay, this is another thing. You know, you go through stuff in life, and you're just thinking, okay, this is just another thing again. So I went up, I told Mike. And then I got down to the basement and I started my quarantine. So when you're going through COVID and something that's so new and unknown, you don't go through it only physically, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all the colors, and even this pandemic financially too. So the first thing I was saying spiritually, God, okay, what did I do wrong now? That was the first thing. What did I do wrong? I must have sinned, right? Because that's just me. I know different people look at things differently. So the first thing I'm doing, I'm confessing my sins. I'm saying, oh God, what do I need to do? I haven't spoken to my father in years. You know, when you have a family and sometimes it's broken, you get estranged. I haven't spoken to him for years. I just think whatever happened was so bad, I shouldn't forgive him. So God is saying to me now, well, all right, if I die now, am I going to go to heaven? And I'm thinking, right, because this is a spiritual battle now, right? So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, if I die now, am I going to go to heaven? And God is saying that I must forgive to be forgiven, because I'm thinking, okay, if I die, because that's in the back of my head, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Because, you know, sometimes you come to church and you kind of put on a band-aid on issues you're going through. And they're trying to figure out, okay, how can I work around this, right? Because, you know, he wasn't there for us as kids. So why should I care, right? But God is telling me, no, you need to care. Because he's saying that although you sin, I care about you. So that was one of the big things spiritually, like if I die, what happens next? So after the spiritual part of it got worked out, or, you know, got started on, not worked out, the spiritual part, the physical part, okay, am I going to really survive this? So I started doing everything that I could possibly do. So that's when the 8 laws of health really came in. Where you try to do everything that God says you're supposed to do, eat healthy, rest, trust in divine help, everything, getting your sunlight. And I was thinking, all this COVID thing is just, if you follow the 8 laws of health, it can help you to protect you against that. So I did everything that I could possibly do. And of course, quarantine from my husband and the kids. Financially, it didn't affect us too bad financially because my job was still paying me, although I was homesick. And Mike was still able to work from home. So I can't say it affected us very bad financially. Emotionally, it was also rough because I'm just thinking that I'm going to die and I'm going to leave my 2 little girls. And they're only like 9 and 7. And I'm going to leave Mike. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, they're not mine in the first place, right? They were just alone from God. So I had to come to peace with that also, to say I had to let them go because it was just so much. And mentally also, because you're just going through stuff that is like during the pandemic, it's like COVID was like leprosy. It's just so unknown and nobody wanted to be near. It was just like that. So it does take a toll. And it's only God that gives you that strength to go through all of that, to work through all of those issues that you have to work on, because it gets your attention when things happen to you at times. It doesn't matter if I was at work trying to do good, it happened. So it's trying to get your attention some way or the other. So one scripture that I use a lot was Exodus 23:25, when he says that God will give you your food and your water and he'll take illness out of your midst. So that was one I repeated a lot, that he will take this illness out of my midst. So I am very grateful. I'm very grateful to God for standing here because I've seen the effects of COVID being a nurse. And some people, they don't even have symptoms. Some people, you might get a little sick. And then some people get moderately sick. And then some people get severely sick. And then some people die. And then some people have such long-term ramifications from the disease, and it affects every single organ in your body, from your brain to your kidneys. People are on dialysis after COVID. End up giving you clots, losing your extremities. It's just so many things. So I'm so grateful to God that although I got ill, it was the mild version. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful to God for that. I am thankful to God for my husband that was very source of strength. He made sure I was fed. Oh, Ellie would check on me. Mommy, did Daddy give you enough food? And I said, yes, sweetheart, he did. And Alexi would call me and say, okay, Mommy, I'm going to pray for you now. And it was like, oh my gosh, I had support. So I can't say I didn't. And then I talked to my mom in Jamaica, my sisters and my friends, and everybody was praying. So it was, I would say, although it was one of the hardest times, it was also one of the more profound times when you realize you have support and love and you just really grow. So, and I guess it's just how you look at things, if you're going to use it for you to grow or you're going to use it to do nothing, you know. So I'm thankful to God for my church family because they would constantly be praying for me. You know, I would be on Zoom a little bit after that, but Mike would tell me that you're praying for me. I'm on your list, I'm on your mind. And I remember when I was better and I was in the prior groups praying for other people, I realized just how touched people are by by what each other is going through. So I could imagine it when it was when I was going through my part of it, people were just the same. I hope I'm not going on too long. So God, the gift God has given me has helped me to heal spiritually. He has helped me to heal mentally, emotionally, kept those things together, you know, because you could have lost those things. Financially, we weren't affected, so I can't say that. And he's letting me, we have an upcoming trip with our family, so he's letting me see my sisters again, you know, because we are so far apart, and we're spending time together as a family. And just the fact that he gives us second chances. So I'm thankful for that, for second chances and to work it out and to get it right. And then when I go home, of course, I'm going to see my dad. So amen. I guess it's all, he's working it out. Thank you.
Hallelujah. What a story.
Praise God. You know, some families, the pandemic pulls them together. I'm more in love with Hazel now than ever before. And I could see that with Mike and Colleen and the girls, that they're closer together. Because, you know, trials come, but they're for a reason, to help us to pay attention. And I'm so happy to hear you give your testimony that you're going home to see Dad. We're going to celebrate Dad's Day next week. A lot of dads are in deep trouble because they're just sperm donors. And they leave their children to fend for themselves. So thank you. Powerful testimony. May God bless you and your family, you and Mike and the girls. May you be in love more than ever before. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Jeremy, are you there? Unmute and talk to us, Jeremy. Your mom is sitting here waiting to see you. She hasn't seen you in a long time. I hope you're calling home every week.
I'm not seeing Brother Jeremy on Zoom yet. Okay. Maybe we can go to Jenny.
That he's 1 hour behind us. Houston is an hour, right? Behind us. I think, I hope he doesn't show up at 12, his time. Jenny, we're so glad to see you. Praise God for you. She has been coming to the church every week. She's been our lady at the church, taking care of our business and sending the reports in. And I only found out that she was sick because she sent a note to the young lady at the conference saying she wasn't feeling well. So I'm so inquisitive, I checked her out. But praise God.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Like the pastor said, I've been coming to church every week to collect the tithes and offering. Oh, I forgot, sorry. To do the tithes and offerings. So I do want to say that I always came into the sanctuary, especially in the beginning, because it was just so peaceful in here. I would sit in this front pew and pray. Just for just guidance through this whole new thing called the pandemic. And so so I want to just brag and say I was one of the lucky ones. but my COVID journey, I've been thinking about what I'm going to say because unlike Deacon Johnson, when the pastor asked me, I said no. I'm like, they already know I had it. So, but for those who didn't, because I guess I mentioned it in our fellowship hall section. So for me, my oldest son, it was his birthday on March 25th. And so I was like, wow, he's turning 18. And he was supposed to have Santana and Justin come over the following week. But that week on his birthday weekend, we went to Dave & Buster's, you know, we hung out with Carlise and Cerise and Allison Balkay. And Jacob and Jay and I. So we had a good time. And then the day before that, I had the Verizon people come to my house. And because they were home, because I was home, I didn't have my mask on. The day before that, we had dinner because a friend of ours came out of town. So I'm just starting you there so you can see leading up to that, trying to figure out, because when you get it, you wonder, well, how did you get it? So that is the first question, right? So then each day after that, never thinking about it, I got a headache, but it would last like a few minutes, whatever, but then it would leave. Wednesday, I went to the dentist. You know, you can't miss a dentist appointment because you got to book way months in advance. So I went to the dentist feeling fine. And after my girlfriend and her son were in town from New York because it was his spring break. So after the dentist, I went to her parents. Her parents just moved in from Brooklyn. So I got to see her parents and her new home. And I went that whole day without eating. And so when I got home, the headache came back. It was like instant. The headache came back. I said, Jay, I have a headache again. But maybe it's because I didn't eat. So I ate, I went to bed, and I woke up Friday with this same headache. I was like, this is the longest I've had this headache. But again, I'm just like, it's just a headache. And then Tori and her son was coming because he was going to stay with us for the weekend. And I was just like, okay, let me just check my temperature. So I checked my temperature. I was like, ooh, that like a COVID temperature? So I said, well, you know, before Justin Santana come, let me be responsible. I went to Kaiser, got tested. And mind you, this was the weekend after my son's birthday, so it was April 1st. So I go get tested. And then when I got the results on Friday, and it said that I was positive, I said, what kind of April Fool's trick is this? I'm like, April Fool's was yesterday, because it was April 1st. I'm like, this is an April Fool's trick. But I was like, I cannot believe it came back. I like kept looking at it like it was going to change. I looked at it and I was just like, wow. I said, Jay, I'm positive. He was like, really? I was like, yeah. So of course you have to call the dentist. I called them, I called Cerise. I called my girlfriends. I was so nervous to tell them because I'm like, I just saw her parents. And I know they hadn't got vaccinated yet. So I was just all just nervous because you don't know how people are going to react. And so, you know, of course my girlfriend's mom was just like, well, why didn't she tell us she wasn't? But I was feeling fine. It just happened after that headache. If that headache didn't stay long enough, or maybe if I didn't even get the temperature, I may have never went to get tested. So of course I told my mom, I told everybody, and so they all went to get, you know, they went to get tested. My mom already had her first rounds of shots, so she already had it. So, you know, she's like a trooper. So she was just like, she's good. She just would come with the mask on, make sure I was fine, gave me my wellness pills. Cause she was just like, you guys, this is what Debbie told me to do. And it worked for her. So I was taking the wellness, taking two times a day. So I never worked. That was one thing I just didn't do. And it was kind of like when it happened, well, let me not say that I didn't worry. Once everybody told me they were negative, then I no longer worried. My first reaction was to worry. I worried about Tori's parents, about Tori, my girlfriend who had so many health challenges already. You know, it was her first time me seeing her. And I was just like, your first time seeing me. And then I got COVID. I know your husband is just like, see, you weren't supposed to see Jenny. And so when everybody came back negative, I was thankful. And I think that's probably what made me feel even better, knowing that I was the only one. Like, I'm with Jay. And they're all negative. I'm like, how's everybody negative? And this is the second time Jay and the boys stayed, you know, they never got symptoms, never got anything. So after you go through that initial shock, realize you're COVID, I mean, obviously the elders prayed for me, thankful for the prayers, but Jay was, I knew he was always, so I stayed in the bedroom. Unlike Colleen, I didn't go to the basement. I mean, probably because my niece lives there, but I got to stay in the comforts of my bedroom. And he just went to the closet where he prays anyway. So he was secure there. But, you know, Jay always made sure I was fed. I felt like a princess for the 10 days. Jacob, though he may have cooked for me, he was a little hesitant to come to my room, but like, because I had we called it mild. Even the Maryland Health Center said it was mild. They were like, after I think 7 days, if they still show no symptoms, they were good. So I think by day seven, Jacob was coming to my door like, I miss you, Mom. You need anything? the experience does make you think. So I was like, okay, so why did I get it and they didn't? So, you know, like Colleen said, you like, what did you do? So you have time to think about it. And one thing I can say is when this pandemic started, Jay stayed focused. He said we were safe, nothing was going to happen to us, and he never wavered. And in our home, we don't really watch the news, but I get my WTOP alerts. And of course, my sister and my dad, they're doctors, so they're dealing with this on a regular. So their experience is different from my experience. And I think part of me just kept doubting. Whereas to this day, Jay never doubts. And because he has that worship with his boys every day, they never doubted. So I said, sorry, I'm an emotional person. So I said, wow, did I get it? Because I had part of me doubted. And so I'm just thankful that Jay is faithful. He gets his directions from the Lord, and he just does it no matter what anybody might say, whether my family, because it's kind of like weird for me with them being in the medical profession, and him just not just doing what he believes that the Lord wants him to do and feel, say. And so I always said, maybe that's why I got it. But then it was probably good for me to get it because, you know, Jay is the head of the house. He can't afford to get sick, and you don't want to see your kids go through it. So after the fact, you know, my eyes started hurting, and then you're like, is it psychological? Are you thinking, like, is this the after effects? And then you hear stories about people having after effects, and you're still saying, well, I'm still lucky that I'm smiling, I'm happy, I didn't stop. And like Pathfinders, just, you would think Pathfinders didn't stop. I have review today, Pathfinders today and tomorrow. So it's like, there's always something with Pathfinders. So it kind of kept me busy. So even though those 10 days I was in my room pretty much by myself, I started to think about the people who were actually in the hospital and what they may have been going through. And I would talk to my sister like, that has to be the worst, not being able to see your loved one and not being able to touch them and feel them. And so then, sorry, Nicole, but when Brother Lockhart passed, I didn't feel it. And for those who don't know, in 2004, we had a camporee, and the Lockharts were the first two people I ever met from Pisgah. So when I came here, I was like, oh, I remember you guys from the camporee. They didn't come with any Pathfinders. They just came because they wanted to be involved. So it wasn't real to me when he passed. And when Pastor asked me to speak today, I was in the parking lot picking up tithes and offering, and it was instant that I knew when I came back to the church. It's real for me now. And so as much as I may be excited that I'm a survivor, there are still loved ones who we may have lost. My mother-in-law lost her sister. But through it all, I'm still excited that I'm lost, and you don't know why. And so it's hard to rejoice. So when you ask me, I'm like, how do you rejoice? But you can be thankful. Sorry. So you think all the things that Brother Lockhart did for this church and for our community, how much he would have been involved with preparing for today. And so I just want to also recognize him because though it wasn't real until you asked me, I was like, wow, it's real. And I was, you know, not sure what I was going to say, but I was watching Chosen app, whatever, last night, and it was a story when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he was asking him, like, Nicodemus is like, how do you, like, you know, you did this thing, and only those who are connected to God could do this. And he was just like, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? So he's sharing that with him. And he was just like, you know, still in amazement because of all the things that he's been taught to do and the rituals, all that the Jewish culture did. And he was just so amazed by this man and all that he was capable to do. And he says, so are you here to, you know, to stop the taxing and all the Rome, all the things that, you know, the people hated? And he was like, no, I'm here for sinners. I'm Amen. Here to show love.
Amen.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
So whatever your COVID experience has been, whether you were in the trenches like the doctors and the nurses, all the first responders, whether you lost loved ones, whether you have a victory story like myself, and thankful that you do have loved ones who were able to help you and just to get through it all. Each and every one of us has our still journey, and we hopefully can look back and think about how we dealt with it. How do we survive? One thing Jay is, he loves asking questions. And so the question is, what could we learn from it? Amen. And for Jesus, for God to send his son to not condemn us, we aren't to judge one another. We are to just simply love one another. Amen. And if we continue to love one another, we'll get through anything. And I believe that's why most of us did, because whenever something like this happens, the world knows how to come together. Amen. And that coming together is the love of God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. So I'll save it for another time. Wow. Jeremy, is that you? Oh, Jeremy. Come on, Jeremy. What kind of cap?
Yes, sir. I wish I could see everyone. I'm seeing myself.
All right, Jeremy, go ahead. You're on mute.
Oh, can you hear me?
Okay, now we can.
Yes. Happy Sabbath. I said, I wish I could see everyone. I'm looking at myself. But happy Sabbath. I'm coming from Houston, Texas. It's so much to be thankful for. Going from all the way back to October, I caught COVID. I had COVID. I'm just thankful I got through it. The Lord's just been blessing me with moving to Houston too, and just with my family and everyone. I just wish I could be there and see you guys and be in the presence and in the midst. So I just wanted to say a quick thanks to God for that. And just keeping my family safe, keeping everyone safe. Amen. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we heard you. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Thank you for being willing to come on and just give God praise and thanks.
Absolutely.
And thank you, ladies, for opening your heart. Because out of all, there's a very important lesson that we must learn. And praising God in the midst of our trials is very important. Because if we don't, we'll go crazy. I was pumping gas, and I... at Sam's Club yesterday or the day before. And there was a car that pulled up, and there was a guy in there. He was going off his mind. And the others who were pumping gas, he was on the street, and we were in the gas station. And he was so loud and like he was out of his mind. He was banging. He was in the passenger seat. He was banging on the dashboard and hurling profanity at the person in the driver's seat. In the driving of the wheel, and we were just looking amazed. People are out of their minds, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of killing going on. Families are being torn up. And we're not in a good place. But those of us who know the Word of God, and we understand what the Word of God says, we will be able to come through as these young people. You see, all of them are on, there could be my kids, all of them. Amen. And when we started, we thought it was the old folk who were going to go, but the trend has changed. The younger people are getting in. It started in China, America, and Europe. Now they have found a way to deal with the vaccine. Now it's shifting to the third world countries. South America, Africa. More people have died from COVID in the last 6 months than died in all of 2020. Did you hear that? It's not over. It's just shifting somewhere else. And so when I think about this, I want us to praise God even in the midst of trials. Even in the midst of trials. The psalmist says, Psalm 138, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Not half-heartedly or in a listless manner. He says, before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple. and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried to thee, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. Through the Lord, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth from afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, we're in the midst of trouble. Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And so when we sing or testify of our praise to God, it should not be repetitive or rote, not hasty or hurried. That's why I didn't hurry these folk. They need to take the time. I told them 3 to 5 minutes, but they took 15, 20 minutes. Amen? So it's good because we're in the house of God. We're not going to work. We're not going shopping. We're not going to the restaurant. We got our food set at home. Amen? Don't be hasty or hurried, fleeting or casual or superficial or careless, half-hearted or unthinking, mechanical or automatic, routine or offhanded, indifferent, not dismissive, but careful and thorough. So praise should be sincere. And I could hear it in the voices as you shared your inner feeling of what you were going through. And so it must be wholehearted praise. We should especially praise him for revealing to us eternal truths as written in his word. We should not hesitate to praise the true God, even amidst all the false gods of this world. As verse 2 says, he hath magnified his word above all his name. The holy scriptures are our greatest physical possessions. And if we're not in it every day, we're missing something important in our walk. Matthew says, his word, Matthew 24:35, his word shall not what? Pass away. His word is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. And so this phrase, the whole heart, occurs a number of times in the Bible, especially in Psalm 119. And so the testimony of the psalmist, he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. And so the proud has forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts and with my whole heart. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. The Sabbath school lesson Brother Dorsey was sharing this morning, that's what we need. People think we're legalists as Seventh-day Adventists, but God gave us the laws for a reason. Amen? And we disregard it to our own detriment. And so prayer, praise, I guess they had all the time in the world to pray, right? When you were all isolated from your family. Prayer, praise, and thanksgiving go together. Oftentimes when we pray, we just want shopping. We go shopping with our shopping carts. Lord, I want this blessing. And we go from aisle to aisle looking for the blessing. But prayer, praise, and thanksgiving go together. There is a close relationship that exists between them. And so scripture joins these three things together. The Psalms are filled with many songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving, all pointing back to the result of our prayer. Thanksgiving includes gratitude. In fact, thanksgiving is the expression of an inward conscious gratitude to God for mercies received. Gratitude is an inward emotion of the soul rising involuntarily, while thanksgiving is the voluntary expression of gratitude. You could hear the thanksgiving in the voices of these special members of Pisgah. So thanksgiving is verbal, positive, and active. It is the giving of something to God. Thanksgiving comes out in the open. Gratitude is secret and silent. It is passive, not showing up and out until expressed in praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Gratitude is felt in the heart. Thanksgiving is the expression of that inward feeling. Thanksgiving is not just for the third Thursday in November. Amen. It's for every day, every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And so thanksgiving is what the word signifies, the giving of thanks to God. It is giving something to God in word, which we feel at heart for blessings received. And we are grateful. Gratefulness or gratitude arises from a contemplation of the goodness of God. It is fostered by meditation on what God has done for us. Both gratitude and thanksgiving points to and have to do with God and his mercies. The heart is consciously grateful to God. The soul gives expression to that heartfelt gratitude to God in words and in acts. And so gratitude is developed by meditation on God's grace and his mercy. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Here we see the importance and value of meditation. The psalmist says, my meditation is of him, shall be sweet. Praise is birth by gratitude and a conscious obligation to God for his mercies to us. And so as we think of mercies past, my heart is inwardly moved with gratitude for these precious individuals. Out of 8 individuals in our church, God has given us 7. Perfect number. Amen. So we love to thank and to think of the past, and we're grateful to God for what he has done. And all our worries and our sorrows and our cares are cast aside, and we adore him. And so out of that heart of gratitude comes love. Amen. We ought to love and appreciate one another. We got to put aside all the issues. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, Sister Colleen, that you're going to see your daddy. Amen. That's the one good thing that will come out of it, if nothing else, that he's going to be able to embrace his little girl, who is now a woman, married woman with the grandkids. He's going to be able to see his grandkids for the first time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many fathers have gone to their graves because they have not connected with the child that they bore? It's sad. I read a story this week. Some of you might have seen it. This man had an 18-year-old girl. She was graduating or finishing school, and he was sending his last child support payment. Did you all see that, read that story? And he was so resentful. Derek, you read it too, so we're not telling the story. You got 80,000 pennies, and he rented a truck, a flatbed hooked to his truck, a little trailer, and he dumped 80,000 pennies on the front lawn of his ex-wife's house. Can you imagine it? This was his last payment. 80,000 pennies, how many dollars? Oh, there he is, $800. Guess what they did? They donated it to the shelter. They didn't need the money, they needed love. Children need our love. Wives need our love. Husbands need our love, not our money. And so Paul, he appeals to the Romans and to us to dedicate ourselves wholly to God, be a living sacrifice. Constraining motives is the mercies of God that keeps us alive. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So consideration of God's mercy not only begets gratitude, but includes a large concentration to God, a consecration to God of all that we have and are. Prayer brings praise. Praise brings thanksgiving. Thanksgiving brings consecration. And are all linked together. They're inseparable. So gratitude and thanksgiving always looks back at the past, though it may also take us into the present. Prayer looks to the future. Amen. Thanksgiving deals with things already received. Prayer deals with things that we desire and we ask and we expect. And so prayer turns to gratitude and praise then when we see what God has given to us, we are grateful and gratitude springs forth in praise. So as prayer brings things to us, which begets gratitude and thanksgiving, so praise and gratitude promotes prayer and induces more praying and intense praying. Gratitude and thanksgiving stands opposed to all murmuring against God, against one another, and God's dealings with us. Why did God allow this pandemic to hit us, especially my family? Is it something that I've done? It happens. It happens. And so when we have an unappreciative spirit, we have no standing in God's sight. True prayer corrects complaining and promotes gratitude and thanksgiving. Disaffection at one's lot and a disposition to be discontented with things which comes to us is the providence of God. In the providence of God, we have no control over it. We are living in a world of sin. And so don't question God when he allows things in our lives. He may have allowed that so that you can get to know your dad, the grandchildren can get to know their grandfather, that he can have peace in his soul and fix what was broken in his life. So brothers and sisters, I don't want us to think that we are immune from this. Some of us sitting here in this auditorium may not live to the end of the year. What this has taught me is to get my act right with God first, and then with my family, my children, my wife, and those that I associate with. We can't carry with us grudges. We're pulling a cart with all of the mess in our past, and we have not dealt with it. We got to deal with it. Don't think it's going to go away if you just ignore it. It won't. You got to act on it. And so Exodus tells us one of the biggest problems with Israel as with us. In Exodus 15, the children of Israel is our example. When they left Egypt, the story is in Exodus chapter 15, and they were in the wilderness wandering. They were only 15 days out of Egypt, 15 days. And they started the complaining. They wanted to go back to Egypt. When God did a signal thing for them in Exodus 15, verse 20, they offered praise and thanksgiving because the army of Pharaoh was on their backs and the water was in front of them. God opened the water and he let them through on dry land. They were surely going to be taken back to Egypt and continue to be slaves. That experience, it says here, and Miriam the prophetess. Did you know Miriam was a prophetess? Oh, mercy. That is something. It says the sister of Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dance. It's okay to dance, saints. Amen. But not the type of dance that you have in the nightclub. Amen. Verse 21 says, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders hath he thrown into the sea. And when they came to Mirah, they could not drink of the water of Mirah, for they were bitter. Soon after they were able to sing that song, the horses and his riders, as he cast into the sea, they couldn't find water in the wilderness. And they started complaining.
That's how we are. As soon as this pandemic is over, we got another problem. We're going to be crying the blues. Oh, Lord, help me. We're never satisfied. That's who we are. Ungrateful people. This is what they did. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What should we drink? Why can't we fix the church? Pisgah is in trouble. It needs help. Why can't the pastor get more souls in the church? Why can't we have better services?" We're always looking at somebody else. The problem is with you. 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 And never me. Verse 25 says, "And he cried unto the Lord." This is Moses. "And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made them for them a statute and an ordinance." A statute, not a statute. A statute and an ordinance. "And there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right." Did you hear that? There's right and wrong. We're a little confused because we're hearing some of the things that we thought were wrong are now right. And our governments are switching things that we know aren't right to make them okay. That's because we're in a carnal world. "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in Elder Fullwood's sight." How about Robert Flores and Vicky? Can we do what you know is right? No. What about Annette? Can we do what Annette says? Can we listen to Annette and she tell us what's right? None of us have it, saints. So we got to go to the Word. "Do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments." The Ten Commandments are still valid, saints. Don't let them tell you you're legalists. "And keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Pandemic, be gone. Amen. Take care of your health. Jenny sent me a picture of the wellness formula. I went out to Whole Foods and I bought 250 capsules of it for 40 something bucks. I take one a day with my oatmeal. I eat twice a day. I don't snack between meals. I drink water. Look after your health, saints. We know the health message. We know the doctors. Amen. Do it. And then if you die, you die. But make sure you die healthy. Amen. Verse 27, "And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water." You see, God is able to provide water in the wilderness. They're struggling out in California now. They have a major drought out there. They don't know what to do, and they're panicking. "They came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." God can bring water in the desert, saints. Hallelujah. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin," which is between Elim and Sinai. You see, they had to go through that sin wilderness before they got to Sinai to get the commandments in a written form. They weren't paying attention to their leader, so God had to write it down. "And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt," that's how long it took them, "and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." One of our big issues, saints, is appetite. Once this pandemic has helped me to get control of my appetite, brother. And I thank God for it, because I don't eat nothing between meals anymore. Used to snack, if you feel hungry, you go get something. And I told the Lord, I want to control this body and this mind so that only God will speak to me. So when they got through all of this, one of the leading sins of these Israelites, as with us, is forgetfulness. We forget God and his mercies, and we have ingratitude. This brought us it brought out murmuring and a lack of praise. In the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Colossians to let the word of Christ dwell in their hearts richly, and to let the peace of God rule therein. He said to them, and be ye what? Thankful. And he adds, admonishing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Colossians 3, 15 and 16. So we got to stop complaining. Stop finding fault with other people. Look within. Amen. Confess your sin. Talk about it. Don't talk, we have sinned. I have sinned. Amen. Further on in writing, these same Christians, he joins prayer and thanksgiving together. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, 2. And so we ought to rejoice evermore, even in this pandemic. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So when we get the COVID, if we get it, we say, thank you, Lord. What are you trying to teach me? What did I not follow? Pay attention. We thank thee, Lord of heaven and earth, who has preserved us from our birth, redeemed us all from death and dread, and with thy gifts our table spread. So wherever there is sincere prayer, there is thanksgiving and gratitude. Stop shopping and give thanks for what you got. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you how good God is. For his prayer brings the answer. So the answer brings gratitude and praise. Praise the Lord. So true prayer and gratitude leads us to full consecration. And consecration leads to more praying and intense praying. A consecrated life is both a prayer life and a thanksgiving life. I don't want to give you all of what I have. I'm going to give you this. Some quotes here from the Sermon of the Lord. Because we think singing is praising God. And we go to that. But praising God should be from the heart. Not listening to somebody perform. And then we give God a hand. Praise is so distinctly and definitely wedded to prayer, so inseparably joined that they cannot be divorced. Praise is dependent on prayer for its full volume and its sweetest melody. Singing is one method of praise. The song service in our church is about praise. According to the character of the singing, it will be the genuineness of the measure of praise. The singing may be so directed as to have in it elements which defile. Did you hear me use that word, defile? And pervert prayer. Not all singing is good singing. Not all singing belongs in the church. Not everything you see on YouTube you should imbibe. It may drive away everything like thanksgiving and praise. Much of modern singing, and I'm going to stop here because you'll be able to get me in the office and wring my hands and tell me, Pastor, you shouldn't have said that. But here's from the Servant of the Lord. Much of modern singing in our churches is entirely foreign to anything like hearty, sincere praise to God. I have much more from the book Evangelism but I don't want to weary you. I want you to go home and look at it. Look in Evangelism and you'll see all that she says about some of the stuff that we do and we think we're praising God with our singing. And we're not. We're not. We're praising ourselves. We're praising the performer. Give them a hand instead of giving God the praise. Saints, we give God glory. We thank him for what he has done in the lives of our precious members. Amen. Let us take another look at ourselves. Stop looking out. Look in. This is time for reflection. Amen? And I'm so glad for the testimonies of these beautiful ladies. Look how young they are. They got COVID. And the old white-headed people like Cliff and myself and Herbert, we're kicking still. Amen? By God's grace, we take no credit. We give God all the glory and the praise. So saints, be blessed. May the Spirit of God continue to abide with us. Do you say with me, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you now. Father, thank you for the members of Pisgah who are present, raising their hands. We need you, Lord. We need you to fill us with hearts of gratitude for all that you have done in our lives, for sparing us, for sparing these precious ones who have shared their testimony, for others who have a testimony but did not share today. Lord, you know them. May your hand of love be over them. May you keep us in the narrow path that leads to life everlasting. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.